Luke chapter 13, the 18th verse, Jesus said, "Unto what is the kingdom of God like? Whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. The fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." What is the kingdom of God like? Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. And, you know, as I look at this, I notice, first of all, he already had a garden, didn't he? Already had a garden. And so there were many plants already there, intentionally placed, a garden. And then he placed that seed in that garden. And this great tree came up, and that is, he says, the kingdom of God. That is, all of those who have surrendered our lives to the devotion of God, to serve him, to obey him, to do his will. That's the kingdom of God. All of those. And yet he says here, he doesn't say that the tree that grew, the kingdom of God, understanding those leaves, those branches, that's us. But he says the fowls rest there. The fowls are not us, are they? You understand that the world looks to the church for hope. The world looks to the church for comfort. The world looks to the church for some understanding of what's going on in the world. They look to us to have that peace that passes understanding. You ever talk to somebody who's not been to church? Maybe out on the streets or something, and you start talking to them about the Lord, and man, they know the Lord and they know the Bible. You'd be surprised at the people that know the Bible that don't go to church. And the people that know what the Bible says, even though they may not believe what it says. But here's the thing, they expect us to believe it. By the way, God does too. And they expect us to live by it. And so does God, to live by it. And so when we see the fowls of the air, they're looking for a harbor. They're looking for rest. They're looking for peace and calm. See, the thing about the church is that we're not supposed to just be calm and peace and rest when they come in here among us, but when we go out there among them, among the fowls, among the ones that don't believe, among the ones who have not accepted Christ, they've not surrendered themselves to be part of that kingdom. And we're supposed to, when we walk in the room, we're supposed to bring a certain peace with us, a certain ease with us. You know why? Because Jesus said, "I'm going with you." The Holy Spirit lives in us, and everywhere we go, God goes. There's nowhere we can go that God is not already there, and there's nowhere we can go that we don't take him. Isn't that wonderful? But when we go, we need to know that God is in that room, and the people, when they see us and when they just get around us, they ought to sense that there is a presence of holiness. There is a presence of calmness. There is a presence of tranquility. A presence of hope and of love. And that's what they should find. Look, that tree grew. That tree grew and it got big. It waxed great, the Bible says. It broadened. And our role as the church is to reach people for Jesus. And that they would not just be saved, but that they would become part of that operation called the church. Part of that organization called the church, the local church. There's this idea that, well, once you get saved, you're part of the church. No, you got to be baptized and commit yourself to be part of a church, a church. And then that whole, all those churches make up that tree. All those churches make up that kingdom. All those churches, all those individuals in those churches makes up the bride of Christ. And so it says in verse number 20, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?" Again, "It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." What does that mean? It means that, again, the kingdom of God, we're talking about the same group of people. We're talking about us, aren't we? We're supposed to have influence. I asked this morning, how many of you have ever convinced somebody or persuaded somebody away from their political belief. Not in a conversation. Hopefully, we over time can make a difference. Hopefully, if people will understand the Word of God and they will submit themselves to God, then they would put their entire political platform in view of that. And I know, guys, we never have a Sunday school. Well, Jimmy Carter, I think, was the last Sunday school teacher that ran. But we're not electing a pastor. We're not electing a Sunday school teacher when we talk about a governor or a president or senators or whatever. And so we sometimes have to choose their platform. We have to choose based on that. And we're not going to win that argument on a little debate or even a discussion. But hopefully over time we can grow to such a point where our values are reflected in our voting. And that's why we have to be careful about getting into those discussions and debates, because we just don't win. But over time, hopefully, we can win hearts. So we're supposed to have influence. That leaven put in the meal had influence. It had influence over time. How? How does that happen? Somebody tell me how that happens. How does that influence that whole lump? It gets bigger and bigger, but how? How does that happen? Look at what she did. Where did she put it? She didn't say, "Well, I'm going to take this leaven, but I'm going to put it over here in the cabinet." She didn't do that, did she? She didn't say, "I'm going to put the meal over here, and I'm going to put the leaven over here, and let's see what happens." No, she didn't do it. It's not radiation. It doesn't happen from a distance. It happens by conduction. It happens by us being among the people. If we're going to have an influence, we've got to be among people. We hear about the dark ages, and we have to understand that when the church becomes so focused on us, we become so focused on the inside and just taking care of each other, which, by the way, what a great church that loves each other and takes care of each other. I'm glad of that. But, you know, our mission is not just take care of each other. Our mission is to reach the world. And we can't reach the world if we hide from the world just us. We've got to be out there among them. We've got to be out there where they are. She took the meal and she put it in, or the leaven, and she put it in the meal. And because it was there in the meal, it had influence. If it hadn't been among the meal, it would not have had influence. Guys, we need to have friends that are believers. But we also need to have friends who are not believers. We need to be among people who do not share our faith, whether that's at work or whether that's out, you know, fishing or camping or whatever it is you do for leisure time. We need to be among the people. Now, look, when we're among the lost, when we're among the unbelievers, we need to be a good Christian example. I said we need to be among them. We don't need to necessarily do what they do. We don't need to necessarily talk like they talk, or laugh at the jokes that they tell, or tell the jokes that they laugh at. But what we've got to do is we've got to be among them. We've got to be where they are. That's how you reach the lost. That's how you have influence. And she put the leaven in the meal. She hid it in the meal. Verse number 22. He went through the cities and the villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Again, he had to go where they were, didn't he? Then said one unto him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" Jesus said unto them, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us,' he shall answer and say unto you, 'I know you not whence you are.' Then shall you begin to say, 'We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets.' But he shall say, 'I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Now, there are going to be some people, and this is so important for us to be mindful of, there's going to come a time when time has run out, when the door of opportunity has closed. When God says no more, no, the master of the house keeps the door open. He's invited all these guests in. But if they're not ready, you know, if they keep putting it off, saying, well, I'll do it later, then there's going to come a time when the door's going to be closed and you can't get in. And they want to get in. All of a sudden, they want Jesus. Well, listen, you've got to accept Jesus now. Don't wait. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you could pray and say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I know Jesus died for my sins. He died for me and I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. You can do that now and he'll save you. And he'll write your name in the book of life and he'll wash your sins away. He'll forgive your sins. But you say, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. When is that? When is it going to come? When is it going to happen? What is it? What's the difference of now and then? Why would it be better to wait to get saved? Why wouldn't it be good to get saved now? Why wouldn't it be good now to start walking with the Lord God Almighty, to be in your heart, the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, leading you through your life? Wouldn't it be better to have His direction? Wouldn't it be better to have His conviction on our hearts so that we know how to live? Why wait? There's going to come a time when the door is going to close and it's going to be too late. Two words, too late. Verse 31. The same, and by the way, let me just go back to that just a second. They said, but we're familiar with you. You know how many people are not going to get to heaven that are familiar with Jesus? We saw you. We ate and drank in your presence. We heard you preach. Being familiar with Jesus is not enough. We have to accept him as our Savior and ask God's forgiveness. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. Verse 31, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees. Now, were the Pharisees fans of Jesus? They weren't. They weren't fans of Jesus. The Pharisees came to him and said, get thee out, depart hence, Herod will kill thee. Were they looking after his best interest? Were they trying to protect Jesus? Was that the goal? Or did they just want him out? Well, Jesus, in verse 32, he said, go ye tell that fox. Jesus was not a fan of Herod either, was he? I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. The third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Jesus said, you tell that fox, I've got work to do. You know, the work of the church is important. What's the word they used back then? Some kind of work. If you could go to work, if it was essential. We are essential. We are essential. The church is essential. Guys, people need, the lost need to hear about Jesus. The saved need to be encouraged in their faith. Look, it's good for everybody. It's not just good for children. It's not just good for families. It's not just good for the elderly. It's good for everybody. We all need it. We need encouragement. We need the friendship, the fellowship, the communion. We need that. We need the prayer time. We need to contribute in the prayers of others. You know, we give these prayer requests, and I know some of you write them down. And you go home and you pray and you'll call people and say, hey, whatever happened with this one here? And that's important. And we're praying, we're going to God on their behalf. Church is essential. But you know, here's the thing. Let's not pretend that it's essential in a pandemic when it's not essential the rest of the time. Let's not pretend like we got to go to church when everything's shut down when you don't go the rest of the year. Guys, we ought to be devoted to God all the time. We ought to be committed to this ministry all the time, to serve God, to walk with God, to share the gospel, to make a difference. And so he said, you tell that fox I got work to do. We need to tell ourselves we got work to do. We better be busy doing God's work. He said, Jerusalem can't afford to lose one prophet. We need them. Verse 34, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, stonest them that are sent to thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus says, I just love your children. I love your children. I love you. I love your family. Because they're yours, they matter to me. He says, how often I would have just come and just gathered them up. You know, children need hugs. They need to know their love. They need that security. Brother Henry said, old folks need it too. Amen. You know, and that's the truth. You know, and it's so important. I believe it's important. You know, when we come to church, I know some people are not huggers, so I try to avoid the non-huggers. So if you don't want to hug me, throw your hand out there real fast, all right? But here's the thing I know people need hugs. Appropriate, obviously. And the other thing people don't hear a lot is, I love you. They need to know they matter to somebody, that somebody cares. And so I always want people to get that when they come to church. It doesn't have to be from me. It could be from other people. But we need that. We need that in our lives. Some people don't get that at home. Some children don't get that at home. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I would have done it so often. Did you see that last part of that verse? But you would not. Isn't that terrible? It's terrible to think that people just don't love their own children. You would not. How often I would have gathered your children and just told them they matter and told them how important they are and told them they've got an eternal soul, and how I would have just gathered them and said, I love you, and take hope for tomorrow. But you would not. That's a pretty accurate picture of the world today, isn't it? Everybody's so self-interested and self-absorbed. Let me tell you something. The church cannot afford to become self-absorbed. We have got to love the world. Not in a sense the Lord told us not to love the world. You understand that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about embracing sin. I'm talking about loving people where they are, as they are. Flawed. By the way, that's the only kind of people that's in the church, is flawed people. And so he warns them. By the way, I have a little note here. Not only is this a warning to Jerusalem, this is a warning to the church. Look at what he says. Your house is left unto you desolate. Your house is left unto you desolate. Can I tell you something about kids? Kids make a mess. Kids cause distraction in church sometimes. Sometimes they'll color on the pews or the walls, or sometimes, you know, Brother Adam, they're expensive. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they talk too much and make too much noise and all those things. And if we don't hug them, we're going to have a desolate house. And if we don't love them, we're going to have a desolate house. I was telling Sister a minute ago about a man that came to our church in Orlando. He was probably at least in his 70s. And I was asking about his faith, and he said, you know, I went to this church down here, down the road. It was about, I don't know, maybe a mile and a half from where he lived at that point in his life. He grew up in that area. He said, I went when I was 10 years old, and I was wearing blue jeans, and they told me I couldn't come to church in blue jeans. So I never went back to church again. Because that was the impression he had. He didn't have nice enough clothes to go to church. Instead of somebody loving that little boy and saying, oh, we're so glad you came today. We're so glad you walked to church by yourself to be here today. Come on in. And then if you don't like what he's got on, take him to Penny's afterwards. You know, that was back then. I don't even know if there's a Penny still around today. All right, if you're going to criticize how I dress, take me out. You know, I had a, when I went to work in Fort Lauderdale, I mean, I was not in the professional world at that point, really. I wore a suit to church, but that's it. And you know, somebody from that office says, come with me, meet me down at the mall. We went to the mall and they bought me clothes. Not because I was poor, because they thought I needed to spruce it up a bit. I mean, I wear a suit to church, but I didn't wear a suit to work. And they said, you know, instead of just criticizing me, they took me down there and bought me some clothes. Now, that may be the extreme. But my point is, that little boy went into church, somebody should have hugged his neck and said, we're so glad you're here. And when that little boy runs around and makes a lot of noise and all that, somebody needs to hug him and say, I'm so glad you're here. And maybe try to settle him down a little bit, but settle him down with some love. Now, you've heard me whistle twice tonight. I was settling him down with threats. But that's a promise, that's right. But they understand that. By the way, they get hugs and love and all that. They know that. They need that. He said Jerusalem wouldn't do it. He said, I would have done it, but y'all won't do it. And he says, and if you don't do it, you're going to end up with nobody left. A warning to Jerusalem, a warning to the church. You shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And of course, we know when that was when he entered on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much, and we realize that we fall short. Sometimes we do things and say things we shouldn't. Sometimes we just don't have the patience that we should. We don't show the patience that we should. God, make our hearts tender toward those who need Jesus. Make our hearts soft toward those who may not exactly fit our idea of what they should be. God, help us to love people where they are. Help us to be that great tree in the midst of the garden where people find shade and rest, calm, and safety. That they could tell us their burdens, their secrets, and even confess their sins, though we know we cannot forgive them. We can point them to the one who can. We thank you for your love toward us. Dismiss us with your grace. Forgive us in Jesus' name. Amen.